The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud progeny of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T here. Welcome to episode 67. Before we get to our main subject, I got to tell you about something. Just yesterday, something got pointed out to me. Seems that just last year, May of 2022, Delaware State University's women's lacrosse team was traveling home on their school bus from some games in Florida and Georgia. Okay, typical stuff, you know, for a college sports team. They were heading northbound on Interstate 95 in Georgia, you know, on their way home. Now, I've been on I-95 on quite a few occasions, several of them through Georgia, so I know it goes pretty close to Savannah. It's a really pretty area. Lots of trees and not that far from the Atlantic Ocean, all that. Really nice, really pretty area. Well, anyway, the police pulled over this school bus, allegedly for an illegal left side pass. Huh? Illegal left side pass? Well, let's keep going. The police were claiming that it was illegal for that bus to pass another vehicle on the left. Wait a minute, I thought you were supposed to pass on the left. Well, anyway, they then brought in a drug-sniffing dog. They say that the dog indicated, thus giving the police probable cause for searching the whole bus and the people's luggage for drugs. The end result was that not only were no drugs found, but also, the police didn't even write a ticket for the so-called illegal left lane pass. Several problems with this one. One, the initial traffic stop for passing in the left lane of another vehicle. That's not a legally valid reason, folks. Yeah, there's some type of heavy trucks that are prohibited from passing, sure, but that does not apply to buses, which is what this vehicle was. It was a bus. Two, without probable cause, police officers entered the bus and began questioning the passengers about possible illegal drugs on board, you know, such as marijuana. I watched the video that somebody took, and they were basically assuming guilt until innocence is proved. That's a Fourth Amendment violation. Three, the police then bring a drug-sniffing dog onto the bus, then search through the folks' belongings. Yeah, claiming a positive signal from the dog gives them probable cause for that search. Four, the bus contained passengers who are almost all black women. That's right. Delaware State University is a historically black university, and the team is therefore mostly black women. This incident took place in the state of Georgia. I don't know about you, but I don't know. Claims that these police officers would have pulled over this bus, brought in drug-sniffing dogs, and then searched through the passengers' belongings, regardless of their race, that's kind of difficult to believe. And five, a police spokesperson subsequently lied about the incident. Yeah, lied. They stated that no personal belongings were searched. Remember, there's a video. Video taken by one of the students, which I watched on YouTube. That clearly contradicts this claim. Yes, they were searched. Yes, both police officers were white Southerners. Now, I'm not saying that all white Southerners engage in racial profiling. No, I know better than that. President Jimmy Carter doesn't. And by the way, neither does his wife, First Lady Rosalynn Carter. But in this particular case, it sure does... how is it that the police themselves often say it? How is that? Oh, yes. It sure does fit the profile, doesn't it? Yeah. Fits the profile. Well, this reminds me of how the police kept black people from entering historically white colleges and universities back in the day. I'm talking George Wallace type stuff here. You know, sending the police to block the entrances to schools all throughout the South. This happened. It took the federal government, specifically President Kennedy, mobilizing the U.S. Army in Alabama to put a stop to it. Likewise, decades later in 2022, Delaware State University has asked the federal government to look into what looks to me like a pretty egregious case of racial profiling here with this lacrosse team. Remember, folks, no drugs found, despite what the police say about the dog quote-unquote indicating. No drugs found. Also, no ticket for this so-called illegal passing on the left. This was racial harassment, pure and simple. And the only thing that's going to stop that sort of a harassment is force against those responsible by the appropriate authorities. In this case, the U.S. Department of Justice. That's the only thing that such officers, quote-unquote officers, seem to understand, by the way. Greater physical force than what they got. And that's why black people, A, typically don't call the cops, and B, have been buying guns in huge numbers in recent years. It's an enormous shame, folks. It's a huge blot on our country. This is the year 2023. This happened just last year, 2022. 21st century, folks. It's a huge blot on our country when you feel like you might have to defend yourself against the very people who are supposed to be protecting you. Well, to quote Negro Leagues baseball player Ted Double Duty Radcliffe, ain't that something? Well, now let's get to our main subject. Actually, our main topic is somewhat tangentially related to what you just heard, because both of them deal with unfounded suspicions and accusations against the innocent. I'm talking about red flag laws. Just a quick recap from the last episode. Red flag laws are laws where governments allow people, you know, the average citizen, to express concern against another person. And as a preemptive measure, government officials can then confiscate that person's property, just seize it, specifically his or her firearms. We looked at that last time. We promised you then that we'd look more specifically at some of these red flag laws to show you why they're not good and why they're actually un-American. That's exactly what we're going to do right now. Let's get to it. Fundamentally, what these laws do is allow government officials to take your property, your firearms, away from you without you ever having actually committed a crime. Yeah, you don't have to have committed a crime. That's right. Under these laws, government officials only need to think that you might commit a crime. How do they make this determination? Well, it's because someone who doesn't like you or has a problem with you reported you to the police. I looked at Virginia's red flag law since I currently live in Virginia. This law was passed by the Bloomberg-funded Democrats in the year 2020. Here's who's allowed to make a red flag report on you. Family members, guardians, domestic partners, romantic partners or dates. We'll get to that in a moment. Parent of a child in common. Roommates. Police officers. Mental health professionals. Yeah, you caught that up there, that romantic partners or dates is on there? Yeah. You go on a date with someone. That person you went on a date with can make a red flag report on you to the police. You broke up with someone for whatever reason? Huh, that jilted lover can go straight to the cops and make a red flag report if they know that you're a gun owner. This is, by the way, even if you've actually not broken any laws or actually threatened that person. Yeah, that's right. It also says, by the way, this law also says that only a Commonwealth attorney or a police officer can actually take that report and go to the judge to get your guns taken away. Well, there are a few problems with that, too. I know, sounds great on paper, right? But no, not so much in the real world. Check this out. First, the order was already processed, and the police, guns drawn, have already raided your home to take your guns from you. So your property's already been confiscated at this point, and your house is probably a shambles too, you know, by those same police. Well, wait a minute, though. How can this be? Didn't a judge review everything? Well, yeah, a judge did. But you don't know about it. See, there's this thing called an ex parte hearing that happens a lot in certain kinds of cases. They use it a lot for domestic violence cases. What this means is that only one party, the party who's doing the complaining about you, is in the hearing, is actually in the hearing. You're not there. Why? Well, because this is a so-called emergency hearing. Yeah, we don't have time. We got to do this now, they say. So only the side of the person accusing you gets heard by this judge. Now, what do you think's going to happen? You ain't there. I repeat, you ain't there. This is an ex parte hearing. Yeah. 9 times out of 10, the judge is going to go right along with the party complaining against you. Uh-huh. You know, just in case, for safety's sake. Here comes the SWAT team to your house, guns drawn, ready to shoot and kill you. Now, I should also mention that this is not a criminal case. Nope. Remember, you haven't committed a crime, so there's no criminal case to make. No charges against you. No, none of that. No. Rather, it's a civil case. Yeah, civil case. Among other things, that means the burden of proof is a lot lower. That means circumstantial evidence carries a lot more weight in civil cases. Circumstantial evidence can be pretty flimsy, folks. Ask any black person. We've all seen it. Here's one. Nikki Jovino, a white female university student, falsely accused 2 black men of rape. These 2 young men were college football players on a football scholarship. Well, the police descended upon them. The university kicked them out of school. They lost their scholarship. Their lives got turned upside down, and definitely not for the better. A lot of harm done to these 2 guys. Lots of harm. Well, turns out she did have sex with both of them, but it was consensual. It wasn't rape. So why did this white female make such a horrible, life-threatening accusation against these 2 innocent black men? Why'd she do that? Why'd she lie like that? Well, it turns out there was another guy, a white fellow, that she also liked and wanted to date. Yeah. Seems she wanted to get sympathy from this young white fellow that she liked to increase her chances of dating him. We only know about it because she ended up admitting to her lie. If she kept her mouth shut, those 2 young black men probably would have the sex offender scarlet letter on them for the rest of their lives. Or maybe worse. Emmett Till, anyone? Notice, by the way, also notice how the police and the university both acted. Guilty until proven innocent. That's how domestic violence charges can go, folks. Especially if you're a black man accused by a white female. So let's not pretend that false accusations don't happen. Let's not pretend that officials never take a guilty until proven innocent posture. Let's not insult each other's intelligence by pretending that that doesn't happen. And all of Nikki Jovino's so-called evidence was circumstantial. Well, heck, it was worse than that. It was totally made up. Couldn't be otherwise. Because those 2 black men didn't rape her. There was no sexual assault. It didn't happen. The only way we found out is because she outed herself. And that was a criminal case. And there have been plenty more of these that simply don't make national news like this one did. Now, consider the civil case by contrast, where the burden of proof is even lower. Yeah, red flag cases are civil cases, remember, not criminal. And you haven't committed a crime. And that's the danger, folks. That's the danger. And no, it ain't just theoretical. This kind of danger is faced by people in American courtrooms every day. I just got through telling you about one. When we come back, we'll tell you how this problem applies to these red flag laws and we're going to get pretty specific. See you in a moment. Welcome back. We're now going to get specific on how this problem of false charges applies to these red flag laws. We're also going to show you how the fact that the red flag cases are civil cases. We're going to show you how that causes major problems if you're the one who got accused. Yeah. We'll be using Fairfax County in Northern Virginia as the example, like we did in last episode. Let's say you're in a predominantly liberal slash progressive part of the state. Suppose that. Turns out that the people in Fairfax County, Virginia, are, in fact, mostly liberal slash progressive, and they by far tend to vote for Democrats. Their entire county board of supervisors, that is the legislative body for the county, they're all Democrats. They seem to think gun control is okay throughout Northern Virginia. That list of people who can do a red flag report on you? Yeah, the one that you just heard about in the previous section? That came straight from Fairfax County government's website. Unabridged. Unedited. And it even includes people that you merely went out on a date with. Oh, I know. Only a state attorney or a police officer can actually take that report and go to the judge to get your guns taken away. Yeah, I know. Well, here's the problem with that. First, remember, the police have already shown up at your home with their guns pointed right at you to take your guns away. So your property has already been confiscated at gunpoint by force. Your property's gone, even though you haven't committed a crime or even been charged with a crime. The first inkling that you got of any of this was when 30 armed police officers surrounded your home and maybe even broke down the door with a no-knock raid at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. That's first off. Second, that means that when you do eventually make it to court to present your side, you're not facing the person who actually accused you. Oh, no. Uh-uh. Your roommate, or the date that you had 2-3 weeks ago, or that jilted lover? Nah, they're not there in court for you to face. You're not actually facing your accuser. Rather, you're facing a Commonwealth attorney. That's a state attorney. State attorney in court. That's right. In a civil case, you're going up against the entire might of the state of Virginia. They're funded by taxpayer dollars. That's a bottomless money pit. Trust me, I know. I live here. But Cowboy T, don't I have the right to legal representation? Sure, you do. Yeah, of course you do. But remember, this isn't a criminal case. It's a civil case. Yeah, you got the right to legal representation. But it also means that, no, the court does not have to provide you with that legal counsel. Yeah, that's right. Miranda does not fully apply here. Not in a civil case, which is what this is. Red flag cases are civil cases, remember. That means you, not the state, have to pay for your legal representation. You've got to hire that lawyer. And we all know how high legal fees are. It'll probably cost you anywhere between, $10,000 and $20,000 for that attorney. Yeah. And you haven't done anything wrong. You haven't broken a single law. Now, tell me. Think about this. Do you have a spare $10,000 to $20,000 lying around just doing nothing? I sure don't. And I doubt most other people do either, unless your name is, of course, Rockefeller or Kennedy, Clinton, Bush, or certain other very wealthy families. course, members of those very wealthy families are usually highly politically connected, too. So they won't have cases like this brought against them anyway. They know the governor of Virginia personally. They hang out with state senators and House delegates on a regular basis. Their kids play together at their lakefront homes on Lake Anna. You get the idea. So unless you're them, you're forking out 10 to 20K of money that you really cannot spare. Not only just to try to get your guns back, by the way, but also to try to get the scarlet letter off of your record. Folks, a red flag brand on your record is a big, fat, scarlet letter. It's almost akin to sex offender, especially if you live in a mostly Democrat voting part of the country. And that follows you, by the way. Good luck getting that decent paying computer job at Amazon or Google or Microsoft or wherever else. Good luck with that. Oh, and if you have a security clearance, which a lot of people in Virginia have, especially Northern Virginia, because they're so close to Washington, D.C., because of all the government work, say goodbye to that job, too. Yeah, say bye-bye. There goes your job. Oh, but Cowboy T, you can petition to have that reversed. It's not a serious burden. Think of the children. Nah. This happens to you, you're probably thinking a lot more about, how am I going to pay my home mortgage now that I just lost my job? How about that, folks? How about that? Yeah, it is a serious burden. It is a very serious burden. And remember, just like those girls on the Delaware State University lacrosse team, you haven't actually done anything wrong. You haven't broken a single law. Yes, folks, we do have activist judges. Yes, we do. How do I know that? Because my wife ran into one a few years ago during an automobile collision case. My wife was totally in the right. I have pictures of the car's damage as proof of that. But the judge basically decided, well, the woman who hit you needs a break since she has kids, so I'm going to give the victory to her. No, folks, sadly, I'm not joking. But fortunately, my wife's insurance company had a backbone and decided to appeal that ruling, and she won that case on appeal. But that's because the insurance company has deep enough pockets. They're an insurance company, duh. And they didn't want to have to pay for something that they shouldn't have had to pay for in the first place. So don't tell me we don't have activist judges who make bad decisions. Now, consider two romantic partners. Let's say both are white. Let's take race out of it. He happens to be a defense contractor for the U.S. government with a security clearance. Yeah, it's pretty common in Northern Virginia. You know, remember, they're that close to Washington, D.C., so they have a lot of government work. Let's say he's also a member of the NRA. He regularly attends NRA meetings. He goes and does target practice, teaches, you know, firearms instruction, those sorts of things. He makes posts about this stuff on his website, you know, his blog. She, by contrast, yeah, she really isn't into guns. She's into other stuff. She likes him. Yeah, she likes him. She's just not into the NRA. Okay, fine. So they're seeing each other in a romantic way. Now, for whatever reason, they break up, and she didn't want that. I've been there before. She feels scorned, and she goes and files a red flag report with the Fairfax County Police Precinct. What do you think is going to happen? You really think the police aren't going to act on this? A woman, a white woman, goes and files a red flag law against a gun owner, who, by the way, also happens to be white in this case, in a place like Northern Virginia. A red flag law report against a gun owner in a place like Northern Virginia. Oh, yeah, they will act on it. Oh, yeah, they'll get that report straight to the state attorney, like stat, they'll get it there. They'll look at his website. They'll look at his blog. They'll look at social media. They'll find he's an NRA member. They'll find out he teaches marksmanship. And that he talks about self-defense with a firearm. Oh, by the way, he's an Army veteran, too, like a lot of people here. Oops, red flag. He might harm her or someone else. for the children. Unfortunately, yes, that's how too many officials here in Virginia think now. Yeah. I wish I were just exaggerating. But I'm not. Next thing this guy knows, the police are at his door, 30 to 40 deep, with military gear like an armored personnel carrier. They're in front of his house. They're yelling orders to him as if he'd been, you know, one of the September 11th terrorists or something. His neighbors all see this happening, by the way. So they all know that he did a bad thing. Scarlet letter. The police confiscate his property at gunpoint. They also leave his home a shambles, you know, because that's what they usually do when they raid your home. They leave your home a shambles. He finds out he now has a red flag mark on his record. Scarlet letter number two. Now he's got to spend tens of thousands of dollars of his own money to hire an attorney. 2 weeks later, he's in front of a judge. Judge was appointed by either former governors Tim Kaine, Terry McAuliffe, or Ralph Northam. All three of them Democrats. All three of them funded by Michael Bloomberg. That judge was appointed by any one of them. Really, folks, what do you think is going to happen? And please, let's not insult our intelligence by denying what we all know is going to happen. And therein lies the problem. Not only is the accused prevented from facing his actual accuser in court, but he now has to go up against the entire might of the state government for not doing a blessed thing wrong. Now let's add another dimension to that. That instructor, that army guy, you know, that pro-Second Amendment fella. Now let's make him black. Yeah. The woman he was seeing, the one who started this whole red flag report on him, she's white. Yeah. Need I really say any more about the problems with all this? Well, yeah, I guess I do, apparently. This is one of the things that really disturbed me about the conversation I was having on the Liberal Gun Club forums about this very topic. They're well aware of racism problems in our legal system. They repeatedly affirm that it's bad and it should stop right now. Obviously, I agree. But when I raised the racial angle on red flag laws, for the most part, they just poo-pooed it. Yeah, didn't really want to face that aspect of it. And yes, the people poo-pooing this problem were, by and large, white. You know, as in, it really doesn't affect them, so they don't think about it too much. Here's what one person said. I'll quote you exactly. Quote, "Of course you have to get very specific to the language, but in concept I'm in favor of a take first, due process later, provided the take is under circumstances that are reasonable, and that the process and timeline of the due process is reasonable. I think LE, law enforcement, needs that tool. And yeah, it will be abused, but punish the abusers. Don't not do it out of an unrealized fear that hasn't happened yet." Close quote. Well, that's the problem. This person is, one, agreeing with Donald Trump on taking someone's property without due process. What? Democrat voters agreeing with Trump on anything? I never thought I'd see that happen. Two, repeating the language of the gun controllers. You know, reasonable common sense regulations. Yeah, I've heard that before too many times. Three, repeating the language of certain abusive, thug-like, racist police officers who call things like civil asset forfeiture, quote, "tools that law enforcement needs," close quote. Huh. Yeah, just like those cops who harassed the Delaware State University women's lacrosse team, huh? Four, acknowledging that it will be abused, though, to their credit, advocating punishing the abusers. The problem there is this. Punishing the abusers is simply not going to happen in places like Fairfax County or California or New York City where they believe in gun control. Punishing abusers like for that is not just not going to happen. And 5, calling this an unrealized fear that hasn't happened yet. Oh boy, that last one. Well, you know, all of them gall me, yes. But that last one especially so. An unrealized fear that hasn't happened yet? Really? Yeah, sure. Oh, Negroes will be able to go to school. They'll be able to vote, ride on railroads, use the bathrooms, as long as they're separate but equal. That won't be abused. Yeah, right. We all know how that turned out, don't we? No, folks. We're not supposed to be punishing people when they haven't committed a crime. And a false red flag mark is definitely punishing people. When we come back, we'll show you another red flag law. California's red flag law. Since I'm originally from there, I figured I'd better look into that one too. Stick around, that's next. Back. Let's continue. As I mentioned before the break, I also had a look at California's red flag law. You know, since I'm from there and all, you know, San Francisco liberal. Well, their red flag law is rather similar to Virginia's. As we all know, Californians, by and large, tend to be socially liberal, like me. Yeah, big surprise. And that's especially true if you're in the big population areas like, oh, say, the San Francisco Bay Area, my home. Or the greater Los Angeles area, which is also huge, or San Diego. The Democrats not only have majority, they have a supermajority in the California state legislature. And the only non-Democrat governor in decades was an extremely famous and beloved movie star, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, the governator. The current state Senate majority leader is a virulent anti-Second Amendment activist who I've covered before here on the Liberals Gun Corner. He has shown repeatedly that he will distort, cheat, and even outright lie to push more gun control through. Oh, as long as his own bodyguards stay armed, of course. Oh, there won't be abuses. No, there won't be abuses at all. No, there are safeguards for due process. You want to save our kids, don't you, Cowboy T? Here's the problem. This is California. Having been born there and having grown up there, I know California very well. All this, you know, looks great on paper. But the real world, it turns out, is quite different. In the real world, California officials will stop at nothing to deprive someone of firearms for any reason that they think sounds good to them. We'll just use an admittedly somewhat extreme example, but certainly a possible one. We'll say, for example, some people want to hold a pro-Confederacy get-together. Now, personally, I think that's abhorrent. Confederacy worship? That's just plain stupid in my mind. Dumb as dumb could be. But as long as they're not actually harming anyone else, then, well, that is their right, too. And in such a case, they merely would be exercising at least two of several constitutional rights— the right of peaceable assembly, and the right of free speech. I can see people doing red flag reports on the attendees of such a get-together. I can see that very easily. I am also very sure that a so-called ex parte hearing would take place in front of the judge. I'm also sure that California judges would grant that such an order immediately in such a case. Again, I despise Confederacy worship. Take one look at my dad and you'll understand why. Confederacy worship is despicable and deranged. But by at least the First and Fourth Amendments, maybe more, it is still their right to do so as long as they're not hurting someone else. That in and of itself does not qualify as a reason to just take people's property since no actual crime has been committed. Oh, come on, Cowboy T, that's far-fetched. You're starting to sound like a conspiracy theorist. Oh, really? You really think this kind of thing is far-fetched? Think again, folks. Think again. Remember, President Donald Trump advocated for just this sort of thing. Yes, that's right, folks. The red flag law pushers actually agree with Donald Trump. Here is an exact quote of what he said on the subject. Quote, I like taking guns away early. Take the guns first. Go through due process second. Close quote. That's just what these red flag laws do. They take the guns first, then go through due process second. I never thought I'd see the Democrats actually agree with a constitutional violation like President Trump was also pushing for. My goodness, go figure that. Oh, by the way, for those who don't believe that he did say that, it was in USA Today, February 28th, 2018. You can look this up. Who would have thought that California Democrats, who hate President Trump with a passion, would be embracing the very same violation of due process that he did? Who would have thought that? Now, I'm also going to remind you that a March 2017 report by the National Registry of Exonerations found that black defendants are more likely to be found guilty of lawbreaking than white defendants. That certainly would apply to the red flag laws, too. So, this is also going to disproportionately affect people of color. Not good, people. Not good. I know a lot of white people, and that definitely includes white progressives. They don't like to hear about this stuff. Makes them uncomfortable to hear this sort of thing. Well, it's because they feel personally indicted whenever someone brings up racism. That's the basis of Robin DiAngelo's groundbreaking research project about white fragility. That's the basis of it. They're so afraid of a racism charge sticking that they'll react almost violently to shut it down. Why? Why such a strong reaction? Well, because a racism charge is a big-time scarlet letter, too. So, anytime we bring up race to a group of white progressives, they immediately get defensive. I've seen this so often, as if they're somehow being attacked. They're not, but they feel like they are. That's the gut-level instinct, and naturally the response is, defend, 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 and they react accordingly. I have seen this time and again over decades. Well, since they know how a scarlet letter feels due to their abject fear of one, i.e. being branded with a racism charge, even when one isn't being made against them, they also should understand the incendiary nature of any other scarlet letter like that, including a red flag mark. And yes, a red flag mark on your record is definitely a scarlet letter. It marks you as unstable, dangerous, can't be trusted. Good luck getting a job with that mark. Red flag marks are like civil asset forfeiture, I think by design. The government officials who want these laws are ardent gun controllers. Remember, Bloomberg, the Joyce Foundation, the Brady Group, and so on. What they really want is eventual, total gun confiscation, except for their own bodyguards. That's their end game. Confiscation, except for their own bodyguards. That's what this is about. And the end result of that can be seen in places like Red China, Saudi Arabia, North Korea, and other dictatorial regimes. I keep mentioning that because it's true. That's what Bloomberg and all the rest of them want. That's also why the Bill of Rights is there, the way that it's there, to protect us, the people, from that very thing. That's what I continue. That's what I will intend to continue, rather, defending. I took an oath to that effect years ago, and I've never rescinded it. I will continue defending it. And now you know why, A, red flag laws are so dangerous, and B, why I must oppose them as being un-American. I have no choice but to oppose them if I really believe in liberty. And that, folks, is what the United States is all about. It really is. This is what the United States is all about. Liberty and justice for all. This is Cowboy T signing off. Till next time. I know we covered a very heavy subject over the last couple of episodes, and not everyone will agree with what's being said here. But this is America, and if I have anything to say about it, we will always be able to do that here. Speak our piece. Make our case. So until the next one, safe shooting. Be very cautious and skeptical of any further abridgment of our liberties. And as always, thanks for listening.